As John said, we're going to take a step away for the moment from Tahrir Square and Cairo and take a look at something that's happening here in the United States. Another judge has struck down the Obama administration's health care reform law. So far, if you're keeping score, two federal judges have ruled in favor of the law's constitutionality. Two have ruled against it. The plaintiffs in this latest lawsuit included governors and attorneys from 26 states, all but one of them Republican. Here with us to discuss it is Kevin Sack, national correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, and, of course, Todd Zwillick, the Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Celeste.
Well, Kevin, I was kind of joking a little in terms of keeping score, but to a certain extent, that's what's going on in the courts right now, in that we have dissenting opinions from different judges on the constitutionality of this law.
Exactly right. In fact, in the case of two of those rulings, judges who sit about 116 miles apart in Virginia issued diametrically opposed rulings, both of which will now go to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. The case in Atlanta, meanwhile, goes to the case in Pensacola that was decided yesterday goes to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta, and a case in Detroit, which was one of the two decisions upholding the law, goes to the Sixth Circuit. So we've got three appellate courts that will be considering these rulings and passing them along ultimately to the Supreme Court for a decision.
All right. So at this point, it is inevitable, you think, that it's headed for the Supreme Court?
Everyone seems to think so. I mean, obviously, the court has the ability to take or reject any case it wants to, but clearly these lower court rulings indicate that there's going to be a dispute that needs to be resolved by the highest court in the country.
These two judges who have ruled it unconstitutional, either in one case, in one particular aspect of it, or in this case, in all aspects of it, they have not put an injunction on it. They haven't stopped the law from being put into effect. Why is that?
Well, there's some controversy over exactly what this judge did, and I guess I would clarify a little bit. I mean, like the judge in Virginia in December, this judge, Judge Vinson in Pensacola, ruled that one particular provision of the law, the insurance requirement that starting in 2014 most Americans will have to obtain commercial insurance, was unconstitutional. That's the piece that offends. But what this judge did that was different from his predecessor was that he ruled that the rest of the law was so inextricably bound to the individual mandate, as it's called, that it couldn't stand without it, and that he did not have the capability to parse out Congress's design and determine which pieces it would want to stay and which pieces it wouldn't, and so he threw the whole thing out. Now, you're correct that he did not enjoin the law, but he did issue what's called a declaratory judgment and then has a section of the ruling where he essentially says that the federal government is expected to abide by a declaratory judgment as if it's an injunction. And so to some extent, he's suggesting that the law, in fact, was killed off, at least temporarily, by his ruling. The White House fiercely disputes that and says it plans to continue to press ahead with implementation in the coming days, pending appeal.
Let's get Todd Zwillick, who can give us more of the White House's response. That's Kevin Sack of the New York Times. Todd Zwillick, one thing that Kevin mentioned is something that the White House would probably agree with this judge on, which is that the bill depends on the provision that Americans are required to get health insurance.
Yeah, they've said that all along, Celeste. The president and his health advisors on down the line have said you can't have all the stuff you like getting rid of pre-existing conditions and saying insurance companies can't kick you off insurance and better insurance and earlier insurance for kids. Kids can stay on your insurance as a dependent until they're 26. You can't have all this stuff unless everybody's in the pool. And everybody in the pool is the individual mandate, the part that offends, as we just heard down in Pensacola. And the reason why is because if you don't have the individual mandate, the White House says, insurance companies will just select for healthier people. And that will leave all of the sicker people to not have insurance, just like they do right now. Or if you force them to take the sicker people and leave off the healthier people, insurance just gets too expensive. And, you know, Republicans have agreed with this in the past, Celeste. One of the interesting things that gets knocked around here in Washington and probably not enough outside the Beltway is that the individual mandate was the linchpin of Republican health reform plans back in the early 90s. But Republicans have moved right and have moved away from the individual mandate. Bob Dole, this former Senate majority leader from the the Republican side wrote a health reform bill with an individual mandate in it. You won't find a Republican doing that now. Mitt Romney, who's going to be a presidential candidate probably, signed a health care law in Massachusetts that had an individual mandate. And now he's going to try to run for president having signed that law. He was on ABC Good Morning America this morning saying, well, states have the right to do it. The federal government doesn't have the right to have an individual mandate. We'll see if he can walk that line.
Okay, well, Todd, the last time we got a ruling of a judge saying that a portion of the health care bill was unconstitutional, the response from the White House was that, you know, perhaps the law does need some tinkering, but the law as a whole is a good one that may have to be amended. Is that the response here as well?
It is. And the president said as much in the State of the Union last week. By tinkering, he means, look, there's a couple of tax provisions that people don't like where you have to file too many tax forms. We can tinker with that. Democrats are willing to do that. Hey, Republicans, I can even talk about something Democrats don't want to talk about, which is limiting medical malpractice lawsuits. I'm willing to talk about that. But he said, we're not going to go back and refight the fight of 2 years ago. I'm not reopening this healthcare debate on the individual mandate and the linchpins of this bill. Republicans in the Senate, by the way, Celeste, all 47 of them have now signed a letter favoring repeal. Mitch McConnell is trying some procedural maneuvers to put a repeal bill on the floor in the Senate. He may or may not be able to do it. Ultimately, the decision is up to Harry Reid. So whether or not that gets on the floor is an open question, but they're sure pressing the issue.
Well, that's Todd Zwillick, our Takeaway Washington correspondent. Kevin Sack, a national correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Who wins here? This judge in Florida is saying, look, you need to respect my ruling and stop implementing this law. But there's also two judges who've upheld the law. Is the government required to respect any of those rulings?
I guess the real answer is that they're required to do whatever a judge ultimately tells them to do. And it'll be an interesting couple of days of gamesmanship to see what kind of approach they take. The Justice Department announced yesterday that they were going to seek a stay of this ruling, which would essentially suspend the whole question until it can be heard by appeals courts. And that shows that they at least are a little bit nervous about the judge's stance here.
All right, that is Kevin Sack, national correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. We also spoke with Todd Zwillick, our Takeaway Washington correspondent, talking about a decision from a federal judge out of Florida who has ruled the entire health care reform law unconstitutional.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.